From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner reaching for the wire. Collect is alongside. And then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
But Arrogate swoops up on the outside. America's King Croesus of horse racing went to the front. 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead, a 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence. Happy to have you with us. Mike Penna and Jude Feld kicking things off, 8 a.m. on the East Coast, 5 a.m. out west, so rise and shine. It is a beautiful day in Charlestown, West Virginia, which is where we are positioned in our usual perch that we've been in for the past 5 years or so. We are overlooking the finish line, up with the clockers in the press box. The sun has risen. It is a gorgeous morning for the running of the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic, the 10th running coming up later today at 5:35 Eastern, and we're going to have the coverage for you here on the network beginning at 4 o'clock Eastern time. JT, the past couple of years we've come, and it's been, well, let's say it hasn't been as pretty as it is right now. We've had rain, we've had overcast skies, it's been cool. Now we're looking at temperatures coming up to the 60s today, low 60s by post time, and we have sunny skies, clear blue skies, horses training on the track. A really, really pretty morning here at Charlestown.
Absolutely. Weather clear, track fast, as they say, and they're closing the track early this morning because of all the festivities and the 13-race card. So 9 o'clock, a lot of trainers are working. You may hear the phones going in the background, the clockers talking back and forth. Very busy morning here at Charlestown, but it is a beautiful day, and the racetrack's in great shape. Everybody has been having a good time this week. In and out, inside the casino and outside.
Well, some people inside the casino. I had a good time at the casino, just didn't make any money.
Well, that happens. You know, it's like the racetrack. You know, win some, you lose some. But
get a rematch with the craps table tonight.
Yeah, there you go. It'll be there.
Fours and tens all day long.
And I'm going to Buddy Guy. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Buddy, that should be a good
Buddy
time.
Guy tonight. Can't wait.
You know, that's one great thing about being here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Not only do they have the racetrack, which is an awful lot of fun, but then you have the casino attached to it, and the casino is one of the biggest casinos on the East Coast. It is a beautiful casino, has full table games, and they have some unbelievable acts that come and play here. I remember a few years ago, we went to see Ron White, the comedian, and he was sensational, and now you get to go see Buddy Guy tonight.
Yeah, and my man Doug O'Neill, he was front row for Cedric the Entertainer.
Yep, that's right.
His favorite. So, yeah, no, it's a cool place. The inn at Charlestown where we're staying is a very nice hotel. There's lots of amenities here, and the people are really cool. Everybody treats you good. So if you have some time, you should check out Charlestown because it's a great place to be.
Well, for much of the past, 6 or 7 months, we have really been talking about the road to the Kentucky Derby, and that road comes to an end just 14 days, 10 hours, 30 minutes, and 0 seconds. That's it. 30 minutes. That's it. Until the Run for the Roses. It clicked down right after I looked at it, of course.
You did that for the Big A. He said all week, you know, we'll leave that to Mike Penna. It's coming up in 2 weeks.
So, 2 weeks. Unbelievable. Yeah. It's going to be here before we know it. The field for the Kentucky Derby, at least the main contenders, are pretty much set. There's still some things that can happen where you can get a couple of the horses that are on the outside of the top 20 looking in. They could still get into the field, but for the most part, we know who the players are going to be. Now we just hope that everything stays on track over the course of the next 14 days, and that should be amazing. But this afternoon with the Charlestown Classic, we had the chance to take a break from that road to the Derby and focus on the older horses. And it's a field of seven set to go to the post later today. Rock solid field of seven, too, Jude, when you take a look at the contenders that we're going to see.
Yeah, it's a very good betting race. There's lots of questions and a very solid field. Every horse in the race has won a race this year, which is unusual for almost any race. And when you're running for $1.2 million, you would expect that. But the only horse that didn't win a race this year is the favorite, Diversify, who hasn't run this year yet.
But tough to win.
But he's a great right.
He would be a super horse.
You can't win if you don't run. I've been saying this for years. So
you can't get that kind of insight anywhere else but with us on the horse racing.
There you go. And he is a Grade One winner. He won the Jockey Club Gold Cup last year. So you know, he's a very, very salty competitor. He's been training well and looks good in this spot with his tremendous speed. He should have a little bit of an edge here at Charlestown. But to his outside, a Fleet Willie is also a very fast horse. And are they going to hook up in a speed duel? Could that happen and let a horse like maybe War Story, who ran third in this race last year, get a perfect trip? Or Fear the Cowboy coming late? I mean, there's a lot of competition in here, and you really have to sit down and decide how you think the race is going to run.
Diversify's trainer, Rick Violet Jr., is going to be with us right around 8:15 Eastern time this morning. So after our first commercial break, we'll get a chance to visit with Rick, and we'll talk to him about the morning line favorite. You mentioned the name War Story, 5-2, second choice on the morning line. He's the only horse returning from last year's Classic. He was third behind Imperative a year ago. He gets the services of Javier Castellano. Now, not only is Javier a Hall of Fame jockey and a multiple Eclipse Award winner, but he has dominated the Charlestown Classic. He's looking for his fourth overall victory in the race. He's also the all-time leading money earner among jockeys in the Classic, and he's 7-14 all-time at Charlestown. The guy can flat out ride
here. I'm surprised he doesn't move his tack here and ride year round.
Yeah.
Win 50% of your starts, that's pretty good. He's kind of like the magic man of West Virginia.
Yeah, it was a War Story. From that standpoint, looks pretty tough. We know he can handle the surface, and he does have a fitness edge over the favorite, Diversify. Fear the Cowboy, an interesting horse. He is making his start this afternoon will be at the 15th different racetrack that he has competed in now 30 lifetime starts. So he's well-traveled, and when you look at his past performance lines, you see names like Gunrunner in the Pegasus World Cup, and you see last time out, he ran in the Santa Anita Handicap in California. This is a horse that is well-traveled and has faced some of the heavy hitters.
Yeah, he really has, and you know, he's kind of an interesting story. A bunch of guys got together and bought themselves a horse and happened to be Fear the Cowboy, and they race him around. They run him in some tough spots, but he always seems to come through, gets a piece of the action if he doesn't win. And you know, he's really cool. You spent a little time with him yesterday on the backside. You did a little video with track announcer Paul Espinosa here.
That was fun.
And that's good. That's on Facebook if anybody wants to check it out.
Yeah, Twitter, too. We retweeted it from our Twitter page. It's out there now, at HRN on Twitter. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Paul walked me through. We previewed every horse in the race, but Fear the Cowboy was standing right next to us. And when it finally came time at the end of the segment to make a selection, Paul asked me who I liked, and of course Fear the Cowboy immediately picked up on that and looked directly at me, and he was not my top pick, and I had to break the news to him in person that I was going with War Story, who was in the stall right next to him. And Fear the Cowboy was not happy with me at that point.
No, he was very angry.
I was fearing the Cowboy.
And rightly so. Should have reached over and taken a chunk out of you.
Well, he tried. That was off camera. He gave it a shot. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you our poll question for the morning, which we're going to keep it all Charlestown Classic related for you here on the program. Who do you think is going to win this afternoon's Charlestown Classic? And you can vote at HRRN on Twitter. We're going to give you some choices. You can vote for the favorite, Diversify. The second choice, War Story. You can vote for the Cowboy, Fear the Cowboy. And the fourth choice will be other. If you think that there is somebody else that could win this, we want to hear from you. Who is it? Vote now at HRRN on Twitter, and we'll go ahead and update those throughout the morning. You can also do that on our Facebook page, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, we told you Rick Violet Jr. was going to be with us. He'll be here in just about 5 minutes from right now after our first commercial break. We are going to talk to the all-time leading rider in Charlestown Classic history. That's jockey Javier Castellano. He'll join us around 8:35 Eastern time. It is opening day at Woodbine today as well. So we're going to spend some time talking about opening weekend and what you can look forward to at the Woodbine meet in Toronto, Canada. We'll do that with Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson right around 9 o'clock Eastern time. And then we'll be joined at the end of the program around 9:40 by Eric Zimney, who is the Vice President of Racing Operations here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Yeah, and what a great time Eric's shown us here already, and he does every year. He does a great job here, and he's really been a driving force behind this race, and with all the controversy this year with the purses and all of that, he's really stepped to the forefront, and we're having another Charlestown Classic due to Eric.
Yeah, we certainly are. A couple of other side notes here before we get to this first break. There is a $100,000 guaranteed pick four here at Charlestown this afternoon. That's races 8 through 11. It culminates with that Charlestown Classic as race 11 at 5:35 Eastern. You can also take your shot at winning a share of a $1 million prize pool here this afternoon. It's all free. It is, you have to pick the winner of races 3 through 13 in order to do it. You have to be right in all those races. You can go to ctmillion.com to learn more about that promotion. It's pretty cool. It's free to play. And again, everybody who is correct in picking the winners of races 3 through 13 will share in that $1 million pool. ctmillion.com. And if you are going to be talking about social media today, on social media about the Charlestown Classic, there is a hashtag. We encourage you to use it. That is hashtag CT Classic for all things Charlestown Classic.
There you go.
A classic hashtag.
Extremely classic.
Classy and classic, just like the folks who are involved with this outstanding racetrack here in West Virginia. We're going to get to our first break. We will come back and visit with Rick Violet next. We'll talk to him about the morning line favorite, Diversify. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Presented by Red Brand, manufacturer of Keepsake V-Mesh and non-climb horse fence, trusted by farms and veterinarians worldwide.
He's as well-bred as horses get. As a son of Dinah Farmer, we see Temple City following that same path.
Archegalos has got it won. The Grey Stakes to Archegalos and scores too late.
Annals of Time just flew past them, and Annals of Time, a striking win.
Miss Temple City, Ironica's charging, Miss Temple City.
The start that he's gotten off to has just been spectacular. We're really excited about the future.
Temple City, now standing at Spindrift Farm.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-588. 5480.
Gulfstream Park is just heating up. Catch thrills at every turn as we race Thursday through Sunday until the end of September, which includes our annual Florida Sire Stakes Series and the Summit of Speed. Featured this year is our Summit of Speed Handicapping Contest, the Seize the Speed Betting Challenge, on June 30th. And, backed by popular demand, is our free summer concert series. Don't miss a beat. For our full racing schedule and to learn more about upcoming events and concerts, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Chevrolet.com.
I'm three-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I'm listening to Horse Racing Radio.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
As they come to the top of the stretch, Diversified turns for home in front. Keen Eyes Pavel's going with him, too. The two of them are side by side coming to the furlong pole. They still have to catch Diversify. Hoots put to the whip. Diversify holding on to the lead. Keen Eyes on the outside and Pavel trying to run him down. Diversify digs in. Keen Eyes on the outside and Pavel can't get him. Diversify has won the Jockey Club Gold Cup. He has defeated Keen Eyes and Pavel. Good Samaritan was fourth in 2 minutes, 0.96 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, and we are with you at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, getting set for the 10th running of the Grade 2 $1.2 million Classic, which comes up this afternoon, 5:35 Eastern. Larry Colmus had the call of the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Belmont last October. That was a huge performance and a huge win for Diversify, who is the morning line favorite in this year's Charlestown Classic, 8-5 on the morning line. And we are joined now by his trainer, Rick Vila Jr., who is down in Florida enjoying some time at the OBS sale, checking out some of the babies and the future stars of the sport, maybe looking for another Diversify, but he has a good one later today. Rick, appreciate the time, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Everything is going extremely well, and we hope things are good in Florida as well, my friend.
Absolutely. You've just got like 1,200 two-year-olds to look at down here, that's all.
Well, you're up to the task.
No doubt about it. Diversify, look, you and I talked the other day, Rick, when I gave you a call and asked you to join us here on the program. He fits in here, obviously. He's the favorite. He has tons of early speed, but so does the horse to his outside, a Fleet Willie. And I know you said that's a little bit of a concern.
Well, it is. I mean, he's a nice horse, Fleet Willie. He's won 4 out of his last 5, I believe, and the loss was in a sprint. He's a bona fide speed horse, and he's, you know, not to be taken lightly. I think the break will have a whole lot to do with it. I think on paper we're the speed of the speed, but we'd rather not have to do stupid things early just to get to the lead. So, you know, that's why Irad's on board, and he's one of the best in the world. So we'll leave a lot up to him.
Your horse, most often goes to the lead, but even when he sits a little bit, he's very effective. That's a nice weapon to have.
It is, and it was by design. It probably cost us a race early on. We could beat a lip to Phil Serpy's horse on Weekend Hideaway. But we, you know, actually we thought there'd be more speed in the race, and nobody else showed up. So we bent Weekend Hideaway, got an easy uncontested lead. But we had taken a hold of him that day to try to school him, and he did everything but win. He came back and big surge at the wire, and so it was, you know. And then his next start, he stalked again, and won. So he's certainly capable of doing it. You know, looking at the last 10 or 12 renditions of the classic, there, you know, speed's advantageous, but it's not a lock. You don't have to be on the lead. You don't have to be 1-2. You know, it's sometimes you read more into the bull rings than you need to. It's a short stretch, and you can't be waiting to straighten away and run everybody down. But you know, speed's an advantage, but it's not a must-have.
Rick, talk about your approach to getting him ready to run a big race this afternoon off of this lengthy layoff, having not started since the Clark Handicap last November.
Well, you know, it was only half by design. We flirted with the Pegasus, and you know, that the stars didn't align there, and we actually were going to take a shot at the World Cup, and I just ran out of time getting them ready to go 1.25 miles. So this was a great alternative. It was nice to see that they kept the $1.2 million purse, and cooler heads prevailed there. But, you know, he runs well fresh. He does whatever you want training-wise. I've worked him a couple of times with a target, actually, and to just see kind of competitive juices flowing. And, you know, I think even that freshness coming off a layoff will make him pretty serious going into the first turn. But historically, we seem to do well with horses coming off layoffs, even in big races. So with him liking it, and us, you know, the barn seems to, you know, it seems to be a bit of a strong suit. So he's going to need his A game, though. It's maybe not a bunch of stars in there, but they're just below the radar stars. Excuse me. Stronicus, since he's transferred to the dirt, has run some serious numbers. Fearless Cowboy is sneaky, good sheet numbers. And, of course, you know, we spoke about a Fleet Willie and War Story, you know, could beat a half a length last year. So any one of those guys are major players. And we're 8-5, and I think that's a little generous. It's nice. At least it shows we're in the right spot. But he's going to have to run for his money.
Yeah, you're such a good first-time starter trainer, and hence looking at 1,200 two-year-olds. your horses do run well fresh. That was first pointed out to me by Ron Anderson many, many years ago. And, you know, when you train a horse like Diversify that has a lot of speed and is a good training horse, is it kind of hard to gauge when they're fit because they do stuff so easily?
You know, sometimes it is. Sometimes you can actually, you know, you may be tempted to overdo it and squeeze things a little too much. Especially coming in the big races, I have a hard time intentionally leading over a short horse, though. I think that's, you know, fatigue is what hurts horses a lot of times. And the giving a horse an idea of running a horse 80%, and really if you're a numbers guy and if anybody said they ran a horse 80%, that means they get beat about 25 lengths. So they're never 80%. They might be 95%. But they're pretty precision animals when you start breaking it down in the sophisticated numbers. But you know, he's got to lay it on the line in a race like this, and he needs to be fit enough to do it. So I think it's our kind of obligation to bring them over as fit as we can. It's not a, you know, a money allowance race that we're prepping for the Met Mile or something. This is a real race with a lot of bucks on the line, and we're certainly there to win it.
Talking with Rick Violet Jr. here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He sends out morning line favorite Diversify in this afternoon's Grade 2 Charlestown Classic here in West Virginia. Rick, you mentioned earlier the bull ring aspect of this race, and yeah, it's a mile and an eighth, but it goes around three turns, which is very unique because this is only a 6-furlong oval. So when you're bringing a horse up to a race like this, any horse, not just a horse off of a layoff, are there things as a trainer that you have to keep in mind to maybe do just a little differently because of that aspect of the race?
Depending on where you're stabled, maybe if you had the opportunity to train on a smaller racetrack, that might be an asset. We were at Palm Meadows. It's a mile and an eighth. There's not a lot you can do there. You certainly, you know, want him, you know, pretty nimble, and you're making sure, you know, that all his, you know, his neck muscles and stuff like that. Maybe have the chiropractor come in and make sure there's no kinks anywhere. But he's a big, but he's pretty handy horse. He's never been an issue. And, you know, without having the opportunity to train over the racetrack, you know, I'm counting on IRAD being able to count to three and turns and know the last one, you got to go for gusto and rely on his athletic ability to get the turns.
That's a great line. I got to remember that one. he rides his track pretty well, as I recall. But those two brothers, you had Jose on him before, and then switched to IRAD. What was that deal about?
Well, Jose got lured to Canada to ride in the Queen's Plate by Billy Mott, and so his brother picked up the mountain and stayed on him. Mm-hmm.
rest is history, as they say.
Exactly.
Well, let's hope he can make a little more history this afternoon for Rick Violet Jr. and the team involved with Diversify in the Charlestown Classic. Rick, I know it's a busy morning for you. You've got a lot of young horses to look at. Go find the next Diversify, and thanks so much for being with us, my friend. Appreciate it. Good luck this afternoon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
All right, Rick Violet Jr. here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on this program, Rick is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. So I didn't want to throw this stat out at Rick because, he was so positive. Everything was moving in the right direction with Diversify. But historically, this is going to be the 10th running of the Charlestown Classic. Favorites just 1-9. So far in those previous 9 runnings.
Yeah, it's a small sample.
But 1 out of 9, that's a telling statistic. Yeah, well, that comes from the big data machine, by the way.
Oh, boy. We're in trouble this afternoon. The big data machine is already cranking them out.
I knew you would like that. I'm sure our friend, our colleague Dan Mason is listening to us right now.
That's right.
And he'll be with us this afternoon and handling some of those statistics on our coverage with the big data machine.
Yeah, I didn't want to mention it to Rick either. I told him this one time, but my mother-in-law's got a big crush on him.
Well, you should have told him that.
No, he knows already.
Great line about IRAD just remembering and learning to count to 3.
Yeah. Right?
Going around 3 turns. And it's funny, as he said that, I was thinking about when I used to call some races at the Northampton Fair in Massachusetts, and that was a really small racetrack, smaller than this. And jockeys would hold pebbles in their hand for some of the longer races, and they would drop a pebble every time. Come past the finish line. If they remembered to drop the pebble. Yeah, so they remember how many more times they had to go around before before they had to finish up.
There was a kid named Matt Garcia who was a pretty good rider, and when he was a bug boy, he rode a horse at Pomona Fair for Richard Mandela, and he came around the turn and opened up and thought he'd won the race, waved his stick, and they still had another lap to go. The horse ended up finishing 3rd. Mandela was not happy.
It happens. It happens at big racetracks, well, right? We see it happen on regular size racetracks, too.
Shoemaker stood up in the Kentucky Derby one time, so that wasn't good.
Yeah, no, it happens. The other thing Rick mentioned was, the break being key, because with a Fleet Willie having speed to his outside, he wants to break and get the jump, and he felt like on paper they're the speed of the speed. Let's say the break doesn't go well and Diversify has to sit. You referenced the fact that he's done pretty well in that aspect too, but I think ideally they'd like to be on the lead here, wouldn't they?
It sounds like it. It sounds like they'd like to. And that's the way the horse has been running well. He won his grade one that way, so I can understand it. But if he doesn't break well, I don't think you need to tear up your tickets right away,
right,
which you would have to do with some horses. But Diversify is a pretty solid animal, and if he could get a good position – laying 2nd, he might have a chance to run that horse down because he's a very good horse.
Well, again, our coverage begins 4:00 Eastern this afternoon. You'll want to join us from 4 to 6 as we take you all the way through the Grade 2 $1.2 million Charlestown Classic. And that coverage going to air on a different Sirius XM channel than you are listening to right now. It will be on Sirius XM channel 93. Sirius and XM 93, 4 to 6 Eastern this afternoon. Make sure you're locked into that coverage. Of course, you can always stream our coverage worldwide anywhere you might be on your mobile device, your computer, your tablets, your cell phones, and you can Bluetooth us in your car through our website, horseracingradio.net. So make sure you do that too and tune in 4 to 6 Eastern as we bring you that coverage of the 10th running of the Charlestown Classic. We're going to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. Before we do that, though, we're going to tell you that Javier Castellano is set to join us on the other side of this break. And Javier looking for a 3rd consecutive win in the race. It will be his 4th overall and looking to add to that lofty resume here at Charlestown. We'll do that right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the great people at the Lexus store of Lexington.
This is the story of an amazing thoroughbred who indisputably left his hoofprints firmly embedded in the documented annals of the American turf. He was iron-legged, stout-hearted, and spelled courage with a capital C. When he passed away at the age of 21 on June 24, 1962, at Haggard Farm near Lexington, Kentucky, where he'd stood at stud for his owners, the Bieber Jacobs Stables, a racing legend had gone his way. He was the son of Equestrian out of Stopwatch by On Watch, was bred by the venerable trainer Max Hirsch and was owned for a time by King Ranch. In 7 years of racing from 1943 through 1949, he won 35 races and earned $918,485 for owner Mrs. Ethel D. Jacobs and was the world's all-time leading money winner until supplanted by Citation in 1950. In the span of those unforgettable seven racing seasons, the durable veteran started 131 times. And, in addition to the aforementioned 35 wins, he had 35 seconds and 28 thirds in the money 96 times out of 131 starts, most of those being in the country's leading handicap or stakes races. At the age of two, he had three starts in a maiden race and two nondescript claiming events. All those while racing in the spangles of the King Ranch, for whom he earned nary a nickel and never finished better than seventh. An arguably forgettable start in racing, for sure. On June 2, 1943, at Belmont Park in his third start, he was haltered by trainer Hirsch Jacobs for $1,500. Jacobs had claimed him for his wife. In the balance of that juvenile season, he won four minor races while earning a composite $16,000. Out of 28 starts as a two-year-old, his biggest win was on November 10th in the Republic of Peru Handicap at Jamaica, while Richie earned a paltry $3,440. He started in 10 claiming races that year in the colors of the Jacobs stable. At the age of three, he started 29 times, won three, and placed 15 times, while earning slightly over $36,000. By this time, he had graduated from the claiming ranks and had won the Bolingbroke Handicap at Jamaica, but his best efforts were seconds in the Romer Handicap and the Wood Memorial. At four, this unlikely budding star began to bloom with nine wins and 19 starts, earning $225,000. At the age of five, he won eight of 20 starts and earned nearly $239,000. At six, he was 7 for 19, banking nearly $300,000. At seven, he won 4 of 11 while earning $95,000. And in his final year of racing at the age of eight, he started five times and had a second and two-thirds, picking up about $7,000. When he reached the handicap age of four, he shunned neither distance nor weight. In that year of 1945, the last time the Chicago Cubs were in the World Series, by the way, he won, amongst others, the Saratoga Cup at 1 3/4 miles while toting 126 pounds, and the Pimlico Cup Handicap at 2 1/2 miles while packing 128 pounds. In succeeding years, he carried up to 134 pounds and over 126 pounds 18 times. Among his wins were in the Rancocas, Greylag, Brooklyn, Butler, Continental, Saratoga Cup, Westchester Handicap, Riggs Handicap, Whitney, Edgemere, Manhattan, New York, and Gallon Fox Handicaps, the Metropolitan, Questionnaire, Massachusetts, Sussex, and Aqueduct Handicaps, and the Belmont Gold Cup. Racing analysts no doubt point to his victory in the Gold Cup at the age of six when he stormed from behind to whip Natchez, Armed, Assault, Phalanx, Endeavor, and Ensueño as his single greatest win. He stood at stud in Kentucky for a few years and in California with excellent success. This absolutely remarkable legend of the turf, a true darling of the racing public, who graduated from the ignominious bottom rung of the claiming ladder to unparalleled greatness, was none other than Stymie.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Fresh.
I'm calling because I saw one of your delivery persons today, and he was totally naked.
Ma'am, I sincerely want to apologize for any...
Fuck naked right there on the street.
Ma'am, we're doing all we can to...
And I say it's about darn time.
I know, and I'm gonna... Wait, what?
The human body is a beautiful thing, don't you agree?
Well, I...
We've suffered the tyranny of clothing for way too long.
Okay, but...
So thanks, Jimmy John's, for going all natural.
Actually, ma'am, it's our meats that are all natural.
Say what now?
Our meats are all natural. Wood smoked ham, choice roast beef, real fresh turkey breast, all natural and freaky fresh.
So I don't suppose I can expect all natural delivery in the future?
No.
Darn.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational undefeated Graded Stakes winner, Analyze It, widely regarded as the best turf horse in his crop. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Keisha Latronica is taken second. Trace Barachos is third. Skip Shot is fourth. Tackleberry's fifth in between horses. And they're into the stretch. And Duke of Mischief and Keisha Latronica are together. Keisha Latronica has taken the lead. Duke of Mischief is second. Tackleberry is third. But it's Keisha Latronica and Javier Castellano to win the Charlestown Classic. Duke of Mischief was second. Mr. Mardi Gras came from far behind to be third. And Tackleberry was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, happy to have you with us as we come to you live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. The Grade 2, $1.2 million Charlestown Classic coming up this afternoon, 5:35 Eastern, and we'll have the coverage for you exclusively on HRRN beginning at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. That was Larry Colmus, our good friend, with the call of Keisha Electronica winning this race in 2012. Keisha Electronica was ridden by Javier Castellano, and the Hall of Famer would make that the first of three victories in the race. He comes in this afternoon aboard War Story, and he's looking for a third consecutive win after winning it last year with Imperative and the year before with Stanford. And Javier, nice to spend a few minutes with us now on a very busy morning. Javier, appreciate it, my friend. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, guys.
Yeah, happy to have you with us. And, man, three wins here. You know, I told Jude earlier that when you look at your record, your overall record here at Charlestown, you've ridden 14 races. You've won seven of those. What's the key?
Very, very lucky, very blessed, you know, and the opportunity I ever had in my career to ride one of the best horses in the country. And a lot of support, a lot of help through the training and the owner to give me the opportunity to ride the best horses in the country.
So when you come here, this is a different racetrack, Javier. It's only six furlongs, so it's a bit different than what you typically ride on. Is it much different for you when you come here? Are there things you have to do a little bit differently?
Absolutely. You have to be adjustment every single track where you go. And you have to sometimes change your style, you know. You have to be adjustment the track and the speed, the races, the horse, and you can be once only the main show. You have to be adjustment every single track, and I think it's one part of the society. You have to be where you think is the best result you can ever have.
You know, a lot of times jockeys have told me that when you ride on a bull ring, you have to change the horse's leads a little early, and you have to ride on the turns. A lot of people try to do it the other way and ride on the straights and take it easy on the turns, but that's the opposite of what you need to do. Do you find that to be the case?
I'm going to disagree about that because you never know. You can change your style for the horses. You have to change your own style, but not the horses. You can rush it to the horses to go to the lead, or you can change your style because it's not going to work. And some horses come from behind, you're not going to put in the lead because you're not going to have that result. You can change the style for the horses. You have to adjust them a little bit, try to put in good spots if you can. If you think it's a electronic, that horse, you come from way back, and those kind of top of track, you know, the speed hold it. But at the same time, I have the opportunity to ride Stanford, and he won wire to wire in the lead. It's all dependent. Every single race is different. Every single horse is different. I think that's what I mean. You have to handicap it the best you could, and you have to have the best trick to win the race.
So you've ridden War Story in the past a couple of times, and you're aboard him again this afternoon. How do you anticipate him handling this type of surface?
We see. I mean, the War Story run good last year. You know, he finished third. He had a good trip in the race. In Perry, I won the race in Perry. You know, the horse, he liked that track. I think everything, he fall in the right place for him. And we see what happened, you know. And I need to be handicapped in the race. I need to see what he said, the trainer and the owner, John Gennaro. And he put a lot of support in this game. He put a lot of into in the game. He's a new owner. And he had a lot of success in the short time in his career. And he's been on it for the last 3 years. And he won the Broad Handicap. And he won that Ray Charlotte Classic last year. Win better. And we see how he goes to the race. We see how he playing the race, how he's developing, and try to find the best spot in the race, try to win the race.
You know, you mentioned handicapping the race, Javier. What's at this point in your career, you've done so much prep work going into big races week in and week out. What's your preparation like when you get ready to ride in a big race like this?
I try to be consistent. Trying to not to change anything, and I do always my homework before the races, and I try to handicap it the same race like regular races. To me, it doesn't mean like climate race. It doesn't mean I have to change anything for what the big race is coming up. I think you have to be dedicated, you have to be disciplined, consistent, and try to do the homework, and hopefully everything fall in the right place, and I hope you have the best luck in the race. That's the main thing.
Well, you certainly have a good spot to be in today. You've got a horse that likes the racetrack. There's enough speed that you can chase a little bit. How do you see the race unfolding for you today?
We see what happens. See how he breaks out of the gate, the horse, and try to put a good spot in the race, take it from there.
Javier Castellano with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network aboard War Story in this afternoon's Charlestown Classic. Javier, I want to switch gears for just a minute. A couple of weeks ago, you were aboard Bolt Doro in the Santa Anita Derby. You're not going to be aboard Bolt Doro in the Kentucky Derby in 2 weeks. You opt instead to ride Audible, the Florida Derby winner, who you're familiar with because you rode him earlier in his career. Talk about that decision. How'd that come about?
Well, I think I believe in this game is loyalty is first thing, my priority. I think nothing to do with the horses. And like try to compare the which one is better and now because Paul Dior is one of the best 2 year in the country. He proved he won all the grade one races and always been consistent. And out of all, he won the Hollywood with me. And I couldn't ride in the Florida Derby because of the commitment to ride to the Dubai World Cup with the whole West Coast. And unfortunately, you know, I couldn't be that spot, you know. And everything ended up in the situation, you know, I had to decide which one the horse can I go for. I can't lean up more with top pleasure because I feel like Winston Fong, Elliot Walde, and Kenny Trout have been, have a lot of success together in the past. And I win Demology for the Wood Memorial and win a lot of Constitution, the Florida Derby. We've been winning a lot of races in the past, grade one races, and being support my career. I think I need to give it back to them. And that time, the big dancing party is coming up, and he don't have it. Any jockey, he ride his horse. I think I couldn't leave it like that and just walk away to find another horse. I think I feel loyalty is my priority, and I think we need to lay down that situation.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and I know that obviously you're high on Audible because of what you've done on him in the past. Look back on the Santa Anita Derby for a minute, Javier. Your thoughts on the performance of both the horse you were on, Bolt Doro, and the winner, Justify?
I was so satisfied. I mean, of course, you want to win the race because you have high expectations when you go for I'm very satisfied. I don't take it away anything to my horse. I think he runs such a great race. Unfortunately, you know, it was the way he came out of the race, the way he folded the race, the plan, you know, Justify the only spin the race. He dictated the pace and he took it to all the way to the end. You know, I had to chase a little bit to try to beat the horse. Basically, I feel like I did the worst part of the race just to chase the horse and try to not chase him. Even, you know, try to beat the other horse is not my style horse. I think, unfortunately, you know, he kind of disappointed about the race, you know, the way he folded. But he still, my horse, he show up, he performed, and tried to be Justified in the turn of a home. But it's hard to catch when the horse he got the different style.
A lot of people are thinking that when we get to Louisville in 2 weeks, it's going to be a different ball game for Justify because he might not get out there on an easy lead like he did in the Santa Anita Derby. How about you? Is that kind of the way you're thinking too?
Absolutely. I agree. Nothing is described for horse racing. Nothing is... the Derby is 20 horses and anything can happen in the race. And not even when you go to the Derby with the best, you think it's the best horse, nothing is, you know, anything can happen in a whole race. You have to have the best luck in the race to win the Derby because it's a lot of traffic, it's 20 horses, and you need to have the best trip. When I'm being said that, I don't think it justifies going to be in the lead by itself. Of course, a lot of horses going to chase it. And horses all over the place, you know, horses come from behind, horses in the mid-pack. And you need to have a lot of luck to win the Derby.
Yeah, you need to have a lot of luck, and you need to have the right horse on that day at that moment. And, Javier, for you, my friend, let's hope that Audible is that horse. Appreciate you taking a little time here this morning. We'll see you up here at Charlestown. Good luck this afternoon, and good luck in 2 weeks in Louisville.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Javier Castellano, like all of our guests, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Interesting things there from Javier talking about the Santa Anita Derby and maybe being taken out of his preferred style a little bit, having to chase Justify and go after him and try to put pressure on him. You agree with that assessment?
I totally agree. And it's funny because he talked about not changing a horse's style here, and then he says, well, we had to change his style in the Derby.
Which is true.
I mean, that's how racing is. I mean, there's no way that, you know, Bolt Oro wants to be pressed as hard as he was pressed to chase Justify, but if he's going to win the race, that's how he had to ride him that day. It was just circumstances. And that's the thing. I don't think he really understood my question about the turns and that.
Yeah.
He was talking more about just general changing style. And as a rule, changing a horse's style is always a bad idea. It doesn't seem to work very often. You can maybe with a young horse that's going to the lead and getting tired, only has a few races, doesn't really know how to run yet, you can do that. But when an older horse has a particular style, it's hard to make them do something that they're not used to doing and have success with it. So I thought the same thing. I thought Bolt Oro ran a great race. He got a huge number.
Yep.
He ran really hard. And I don't think Justify is going to get the same kind of lead that he had in the Santa Anita Derby. He's going to have to run against a lot of fast horses, and there's going to be, and Javier mentioned this, there's going to be a lot of horses in the mid-pack chasing him and a lot of horses coming from behind, and high-quality horses. We're talking horses like Vino Rosso, who has a tremendous, six furlong run in him. I mean, these horses are really good and not the caliber of competition that he's been facing in some of these easier races.
And, oh, by the way, there's that little thing called a mile and a quarter, too.
Well, there's that. There's the fact that there's going to be more horses in the Kentucky Derby than Justify has faced in his entire life.
Well, is that right?
Yes. He hasn't run against 20 horses in
total.
His whole career.
Total.
Yeah, I think the number's 14 or 15. It's right
yeah.
there.
And he's so, good.
He's a very good horse.
We're not knocking Justify.
Not at
he's,
all.
He's very
not
good.
Not at all.
But when you get to Churchill on the first Saturday in May, and as Javier said, you have to be extremely lucky too, right? You have to have a lot of luck, weave your way through, get that perfect trip, not get stopped at any point in the race. And look, Justify has a lot of early speed. There are others in there that are going to have speed too.
You know, Justify might be the next super horse. He might go to the lead and just run away from the field. And if he does, that's a huge congratulations, and we'll all be happy to witness that. But, as a handicapper, when you're looking and you see the quality of competition and the seasoning and all of that stuff, it's hard to see how he would be the favorite, but he's going to be.
Yep. No doubt about it. All those questions going to be answered in just 14 days, 2 weeks until the Kentucky Derby. We will be there as your official radio home of the Derby and all three Triple Crown races on HRRN. Of course, we'll start our coverage the Tuesday before, May 1st, with the first of three Derby countdown shows hosted live from the backstretch. JT will handle those shows along with our colleague Gabby Gaudet from Gulfstream and Naira. She will be working with us throughout the week, and you guys will have a little fun going through the morning shows and telling everybody what's happening with all the horses on the track. Because of the changes Churchill Downs has made with the schedule in the mornings, we are going to shift our time for those shows. Typically, we're 8 to 10 every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning of Derby Week. We are going to go a half hour earlier and come on at 7:30, so you'll be on 7:30 to 9:30 with the Derby countdown, because the Oaks and Derby horses would typically go on the track at 8:30 for people to see them. They're going to go an hour earlier and go at 7:30 every morning.
Yeah, unfazed by that, being an old trainer and Gabby being a trainer's daughter. She didn't flinch when you said 7:30. She'll be raring to go, and it'll be fun. It's going to be a good time having her out on the rail, watching all the Derby and Oaks horses getting ready for the big races. And we'll kick off the show with that, and then we'll have our usual plethora of guests and passers-by that we snag with our big hook and bring them over to the table.
We so, always do.
And it'll be a lot easier with Gabby there.
Yeah.
So she's got a tremendous following. So it'll be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to doing those shows.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that entire Derby Week schedule, broadcast times, SiriusXM information, affiliates, it's all listed for you on our website. Go there now, horseracingradio.net, and you can print it off and keep it with you and follow us all Derby Week as we get you ready for the run for the roses. We'll get to a break. We'll come back, get you set for a busy second half of the program. We'll tell you more about that, and I've got a fun little story that involves Keeneland Security and the Lexington PD. Stay tuned for that.
Doesn't sound good.
On the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay, and Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
One final try from Hollywood Handsome. These two to the wire. Hollywood Handsome got it.
Performance.
Eskimo Kisses a distant second. Patrona Margarita third. It is all Monomoy Girl to take the Central Bank Ashland.
Gainesway Stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 5 third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, an emphatic winner of the Grade 1 Ashland at Keeneland, and among the favorites for this year's Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Today features the Spring Stakes Spectacular at Laurel Park. Watch and wager on 5 stakes races with purses totaling $550,000, including the Express Bet Federico Tessio, where the winner receives a place in the starting gate for the Grade 1 Preakness Stakes, and the Weber City Miss, where the winner receives a place in the starting gate for the Grade 2 Black Eyed Susan. Post time today is 1:10 p.m. For more information, visit laurelpark.com.
As a partner in a thoroughbred, the horse is yours every day, not just race day. Bergen Stables understands. When you join their New York bred partnerships, you not only get the thrill of competition, but you get quality time with your horse and a meaningful voice in decision making. To get involved, visit BergenStables.com. Any partnership can put you close to the action. Bergen Stables brings you close to the horse.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind, absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They race to the quarter. Anamese Gizmo's gone on by Shakamat, is able to come back a little bit, Shakamat, and running home well are Sir Dudley Dick, Scholar Athlete, then Esposito. Top of the lead in the Queen's Plate. Anamese Gizmo trying to tear away. Shakamat on the inside. Down the outer is Sir Dudley Diggs. Sir Dudley Diggs the threat. Amis Gizmo in front, but here comes Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate. Amis Gizmo second, All on Red third, and Scholar Athlete fourth.
Sir Dudley Diggs winning the 2016 running of the Queen's Plate. And I play that clip because we're going to visit with Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson coming up in just about 4 or 5 minutes from right now. Jim, going to talk to us about opening weekend at Woodbine and look ahead to the meet and the Queen's Plate signature events. We will be there again this year to bring you our exclusive coverage later this summer, and always a fun time at Woodbine.
Oh, it's such a beautiful place, a great training facility, and then you have the people that work there, just an excellent staff, everybody so helpful and welcoming, and can't say enough nice things about Woodbine, always a great trip.
Yeah, going to be a special time. They have a great event the night before, too, which includes some concerts, and one man in particular by the name of Brad Paisley going to make his way to Woodbine to play the Friday night before the Queen's Plate.
Well, he's in for a treat, too.
Yeah, he really is.
The fans up there are great. I mean, everybody comes out for those concerts, and it's a tremendous party.
So Jim Lawson going to join us in a few minutes. Eric Zimney, Vice President of Racing Operations, will be with us in person toward the end of the show, right around 9:40 Eastern time. So we'll continue to talk about the 10th running of the Charlestown Classic. I did have a quick story I wanted to share, though, before we get to the second half of the program. I told you that the story involves Keeneland Security and the Lexington Police Department. Well, a good friend of mine, and people who listen to the show quite often know that my brother was a police officer for several years on the Lexington Police Department. His good friend, Mike Painter, is still on the force. They went through the academy together. Mike has the privilege, and by the way, he's a huge horse racing fan. He has the privilege of working at Keeneland as part of the Lexington PD security team out there, and he does that a few times a week. Well, he was telling us on Bluegrass Day about a gentleman from Louisville that was serving as a pickpocket. Not much of a gentleman.
I don't know if I'd call it serving.
Yeah. And he was going around. Yeah, he was going around, and he was pickpocketing people, not at Keeneland necessarily, but at different events where there were a lot of people gathered. So they were afraid he would come to Keeneland because they knew that that would be one of the primary targets. And so last week, Mike Painter was able to identify this gentleman, and he sent the information out to all of the Lexington police officers and the Keeneland security officers. Well, on Sunday, the guy was obviously out at Keeneland. There was a Lexington security officer there who was off duty. He was making a couple of bets, and he spotted the guy and called in the other Keeneland security officers. They were able to hunt him down and get him at Keeneland as he was trying to make a run for it. But Mike said he didn't really run very fast, so it wasn't much of a chase, I guess. But they caught him, and Mike was able to make the arrest, and 14 cases of wallet theft and credit card fraud is what they got him for. So well done to Mike Painter, the Lexington PD, and the Keeneland security team. A great team effort. Well done.
Yeah, that's great. Nobody wants that to happen to him, and especially in this day and age with all the cyber warfare going on. You don't want your information out there floating around, and it's a good thing they got a hold of that guy.
Yeah, great job by everybody involved, and I know Keeneland very happy to have this in the rearview mirror as well. It's not good when something like that happens, but well done, everybody. All right, we're going to get to the second half of the show. Jim Lawson from Woodbine is going to kick it off next, right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Tice lengthening his stride, trying to get to this long shot Old Time Revival, and he collars him at the 16th pole. It will be Entice, sharp in victory, and wrapped up by Junior Alvarado as they stroll home into Gotham.
Less than a 16th to go. The leader is still Promises Fulfilled, and Promises Fulfilled will spring the upset to win the Fountain of Youth under Irad Ortiz Jr.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
But it's a game of name the margin. This Mendelssohn is going to absolutely demolish them, and this thing's going to go to Kentucky and win by nearly 50 metres, I reckon.
Audible let loose on the outside to take the lead from Mississippi, who's back to second. Hoffberg straightens up and tries to finish up with less than an eighth of a mile to go. It's the Holy Bull winner, Audible, who's clear. Audible by three. Hoffberg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. And we roll on from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Gorgeous morning here in West Virginia under mostly clear skies. As a matter of fact, they're almost crystal clear, powder blue. The sun is shining. The horses are on the track making their final preparations for the morning workouts. Going to be a fast main track for the running of the $1.2 million Charlestown Classic this afternoon. Our coverage coming your way 4 to 6 Eastern, Sirius XM Channel 93 is where you will find us this afternoon. And, of course, you can stream us worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. And, Jude, it promises to be a good one. Seven horses diversify the favorite. We heard from his trainer, Rick Violet Jr., in the first half of the show. He's going to square off with the second favorite, War Story, who is going to be ridden by Hall of Famer Javier Castellano, who is also with us in the first half of the program. And, should be a great showdown this afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be a very good race. It's a very competitive event and a good wagering race. A guaranteed pick four today, $100,000, all stakes, and looking forward to the action here.
We threw out a poll question this morning. You can vote at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And the poll question is quite simple. Who wins today's Charlestown Classic? And you can vote for War Story. You can vote for the morning line favorite, Diversify, Fear the Cowboy, or another horse, whoever you like. The fourth category is other. And right now, who do you think's winning?
Diversify.
War Story.
Really?
Yeah, War Story. 54% of the vote coming in for War Story after the first hour of the program.
It's pretty good. He has an excellent chance. He's going to get a great trip.
Diversify, Fear the Cowboy, both at 22%, and only 2% of the vote coming in for the other category, hopefully we'll get a chance to update you on that as we move throughout the program. But not only is there racing here in West Virginia and around the country, but racing north of the border with our good friends at Woodbine, and have the privilege of being joined now by Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson. Always a delight to visit here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, good morning.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Jude. Great to be on again, guys. Thank you. A little envious of where you are today, but it's warming up in Toronto, so it'll all be good.
Well, opening day is always so exciting anyway at any racetrack, but especially at Woodbine. You guys do such a great job, and it's a fun place to be no matter what the weather or what's going on. Love being at Woodbine.
It's a nice day here, too. I don't think we have your temperatures, but we have clear sky and it certainly warmed up. And we had, as you may have heard, just a terrible ice storm last weekend, which otherwise would have been our opening weekend, but we delayed our opening week this year, and thank goodness we did.
Yeah, talk about some of the challenges that has presented, Jim. We've seen that here in the States too, with several parts of the country having to adjust and do different things because of the weather. Talk about the challenges that you faced up there.
Well, I just think it's a short blip, and what it impacted somewhat is time of year when the horse vans are flowing in. But we had 3 days without any horse vans coming in for the start of the season, and not only did it impact the inflow of horses, which we may well feel in a week or so, but it also stopped training. And I don't know. We've actually got pretty full cards today and tomorrow, but you know, there are horses that probably needed that final workout and couldn't get it in, and so it's impacting us somewhat. But hopefully, things will adjust quickly over the next couple of weeks, because we really do have good weather forecasts for the next few days here.
That's one of the nice things about racing at Woodbine. Your meet's very long, but there's an opportunity to give the horses a break in the wintertime, but that does create problems when you have to miss training, and most of the time you guys are able to get it in. But you're right, if you have a horse that's maybe a work short or something, you're going to have to spend another 2-3 weeks before you can get him to the races, and that's a little bit difficult, but your fields are always pretty strong, and you know, you can get by the first couple of weeks, and then it's really going to get good when the sun starts coming out on a regular basis, and there's probably no better place to race or train. You have so many great facilities for training, several different tracks and different things you can do with your horses that you can't do other places.
Yeah, it's a big advantage we have, and with the dirt training track and the turf training track, and of course the Tapeta makes a big difference. I mean, we've studied the number of days of complete lost training, and we just don't have them anymore because of if the dirt track gets too sloppy, everyone moves over to the Tapeta, and historically, as with many racetracks, I mean, we get those days where we're used to get those days where we're completely washed out and there's no training. With the multiple tracks we have now, it's exciting and a place to train. It's good for our horses. And as you guys know, and we've talked about before, we're right in the middle of installing yet another turf course. We'll have an inside turf course starting June of 19, which we're really excited about. Biggest news at Woodbine in many years to have that turf course, and it's going to be, I'll say, a modern turf course. And what I mean by that is with great drainage, sophisticated draining systems, and we're going to add fiber to the turf, and it should just be an outstanding surface to run on.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, Jim, because this is the 63rd year of thoroughbred racing at Woodbine. And, you know, it's plain to see when you look at those types of initiatives that Woodbine is doing anything but sitting on your laurels. And, look, there are going to be several new things that take place at Woodbine this year. And first and foremost is that turf course. But what are some of the other new initiatives that folks can look forward to this meet?
Well, we're continuing to do what we do well. It's a long race meet of 133 days. So it's, while that's not new, it's I think it's certainly comforting for our horsemen that we continue to offer that full program, the Queen's Plate at the end of June, which we're certainly hoping to see you guys up for again. $1 million race. We're going to have Friday afternoon cards starting on May 4th, which is our first Friday. We're the first couple of weekends, mostly because of horse supply. We get going here, we're Friday, Saturday for the first two weekends. But it's going to be an exciting year. We've got the Rico, which our people do a great job at, Julie Bell in the race office at recruiting an international field for that Rico mile. It's really been established now, I believe, as the prep race. And the Pattison in October, and the Summer Stakes is two-year-old, which is run at the same time as the Rico. It's now, along with the Natalma, the same weekend, both of them grade one races this year. So it's we're excited. It's another big year, and we also, on the standardbred side, we've just opened last weekend at Mohawk with $10 million of new renovations, and we've got we're moving there year round at Mohawk, and we just were awarded the Breeders' Crown for 2019. So there's a real buzz as we open the new season at Mohawk, because we're now moving to Mohawk permanently, and the buzz around Woodbine, of course, is if when you guys get here, there'll be that turf course will be partly laid down, and we're really excited about the season. There's just a lot of things going right for us right now.
You've got such a great staff, and you mentioned some of them by name, but everybody at Woodbine has a tremendous attitude, and they're all in all the time, and that's a pleasure. A lot of racetracks that we go to, you don't see that, and it's a whole different feeling amongst your staff there.
Well, yeah, I spoke about that this week. It's been an interesting phenomenon the last two or three years. We have really pressed to come in, and as I've been there 3 years as CEO, and when I sat down with the senior management initially, I said, what do we need to do to turn this business around? And the answer on a secret ballot as they handed it in to me was, we need to change the culture of this place. And we, over time, we've now moved to being one of the great places to work in Canada. We're now ranked in the top 20 in the country in food and beverage, hospitality employers in the country. And it's all been about just getting people to be passionate and about what they do. And in order to get them passionate about what they do, they want to come in and feel like they can share and communicate what can make it a better place. And we've really got a great group of people. And what that in turn has done, when we recruit now, I'm finding we're going to the better universities and business programs across the country, and we're actually competitive with the investment banking world downtown. People are looking at it and saying, wow, we can come out there. We've got a leading innovation and technology department. We've got great marketing. We've just hired a senior person in marketing. We've got we've brought over the head of guest experience from the Blue Jays. So our marketing, our innovation, our technology, and just the momentum we have from our culture change has been exciting. And what that has led us done, and I think it's unprecedented. We've got a group of really young, talented people that are excited about racing and are changing the way we do things. And I think you're going to see more and more innovative steps by Woodbine. And it's because we've got this young, passionate workforce who love racing and want to be there. And it's really a fun place to be right now.
Talking with Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, you not only serve as a CEO at Woodbine, but you wear a few different hats. You're the chair. You're the chairman of the board with the Canadian Football League, and recently named or elected the chairman of the board of Ontario Racing. Talk about Ontario Racing a little bit and what folks can look forward to, not just now but in the future.
Sure. I was hoping to get a plug in for the Canadian Football League too, but I'll talk about Ontario Racing. Listen, what's going on there primarily at Ontario Racing? We have 4 or 5 years ago, we installed a very successful program, an Ontario innovation, where what Woodbine does is it currently runs the core of the harness racing tracks in the province. And when I say it runs them, we run the back office, perform the racing secretary duties, and we manage the wagering. We collect the money, we pay out the purses, and it's been a great thing for the harness racing tracks in Ontario, because what it's done is it's coordinated schedules, coordinated races. It's just shown great cooperation, and the benefit too to the racetracks is it takes off a lot of the administrative and burden and costs that Woodbine's doing for them. At the same time, we had an entity, Ontario Racing, that was more responsible for managing the breeders' programs and doing marketing for the entire industry and those types of steps. And to have both of those bodies out there was confusing in terms of which mandate each group was doing. And what has happened now is we're now bringing that together under one roof, along with a long-term funding agreement with the province for horse racing, which is exciting, which brings long-term stability to racing in Ontario. And Ontario Racing and that Standardbred Alliance that I mentioned will now be merged and run the management administration will be performed by an entity called Ontario Racing Management, which will be a Woodbine subsidiary. We're moving over the employees from Ontario Racing into this Ontario Racing Management. And again, now it'll be coordination of the entire industry through Ontario Racing and with management by this Ontario Racing Management. And so it's exciting. So I'm been in the middle of it in terms of dealing with the government, with the Woodbine negotiating team. And in terms of the funding agreement, we're now taking the steps to merge Ontario Racing with the Standardbred Alliance. That is going to go ahead by the beginning of May. Then we'll put a new board in. I will my tenure as chair will be short, but we'll put in a new independent chair for Ontario Racing. And what's going on right now is I'm overseeing this integration of Ontario Racing and the Standardbred Alliance, and taking the steps to put it under one management, and that will be done early in May, all with a view to a long-term funding agreement with the government, which is being finalized now, and that will kick in a year from now. I think April 1st of 19.
All right, Jim Lawson with Woodbine and with the Canadian Football League and with Ontario Racing as well. He does a tremendous job north of the border. And, Jim, before we let you go, just you wanted a plug for the CFL. People may not realize that your father, Mel, was a quarterback for the Hamilton Flying Wildcats, led them to a victory in the 31st Grey Cup. So there you go. The Lawson name steeped in history when it comes to talking about the CFL.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I, you know, as a Canadian growing up here, and you'll hear it when you guys are up here. It's such an integrated thing into our culture, much like you hear about hockey. The Canadian Football League, especially in Western Canada, is just so much a part of our Canadian culture. So I'm my dad. I grew up in the league, so to speak, and I'm proud to be and happy to be involved in the Canadian Football League today. Also,
Jim, we appreciate the visit and enjoy opening day at Woodbine. We'll look forward to seeing you up there for the Queen's Plate. And my wife says it's all about Brad Paisley. I say it's about the horses. She said it's all about Brad Paisley.
Before. I'm excited, Brad. Brad's here on the Friday night. It'll be a great weekend, Friday, June 29th, and tell her to bring her hat for the hats and horseshoes party the next day. That's just we usually have 12 or 15,000 young people. Picture the scene at the Kentucky Derby on a nice day, and that's what we'll have up here for our hats and horseshoes party, but all kicked off by Brad Paisley the night before, and it's going to be just a great weekend. It's the Canada Day holiday on July 1st, so there'll be a special festival on July the 1st. So if you guys are coming up, plan on coming up early for Brad and staying, and it will be a great race. We've got some really great three-year-olds, Canadian-bred three-year-olds this year, which should make it fun. I know I talked to Mark Cassie last weekend, and he's excited about the quality of his three-year-old Canadian-breds this year. So it's going to be a fun weekend, and look forward to seeing you guys up here for that. And enjoy the race today. It sounds like Mr. Castellano was pretty convincing in the first part to get you guys onto War Story.
Yeah, us and everybody throughout HRN Nation, War Story leading the poll right now. Jim, we appreciate it, and thanks so much for the time and for all the support as well.
Great to be on, guys. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
All right, thanks, Jim. Take Jim care. Lawson here on HRN. We're going to go ahead and get to a break. We'll come back and get you set for some more talk about the Charlestown Classic, and we'll visit from Eric Zimney, the Vice President of Racing Operations here at Charlestown. He'll join us around 9:40 Eastern Time. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and it's all presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Strategize, analyze, select. Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, free pass performances, live video, race replays, and more. Plus, Keeneland Select invests a portion of its profits back into the sport. Join Keeneland Select today and earn a $150 sign-up bonus at KeenelandSelect.com. Dedicated to the sport and dedicated to the players.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight
Pride Bizu with another assertive final furlong, the top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Fans, make plans now to join us for the biggest derby party west of Kentucky on Kentucky Derby Day, Saturday, May 5th. Can Justify validate his big win in the Santa Anita Derby and take the run for the roses in only his fourth career start? Be here at Santa Anita for all the fun and excitement. Visit SantaAnita.com for more information. Join us this Saturday for tacos y cervezas and an outstanding card that will be highlighted by the Grade 2 Kona Gold and the Grade 3 American Stakes. First post time is at 12 noon. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Make plans now to attend the National HBPA Convention, March 13th to 17th in New Orleans, featuring discussions on the sport's hottest topics, including sports betting, inadvertent exposure to medications, and thoroughbred aftercare. You'll hear from guest speakers like Greg Benzel, Joe Asher, Ted Schultz, and Dr. Scott Stanley and Emily Woods. And prominent owner breeder Clay Witham will be on hand to deliver the keynote address. It's the National HBPA Convention, March 13th to 17th in New Orleans.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They go to the first finish line. You're to blame. Held together by Castellano. Hecatiro launching an attack on the outside. Second, Fayek is an all-in third. Now we're wore away is Astaquick, and he's fourth. Two back to Carlino. Then the trailer is Fermento. As Fermento now gets out of last after three quarters and 1:11.3. You're to blame enters the short stretch with the advantage. You're to blame. Well rationed by Castellano and moving away from Hecatiro. Fermento's up to third. Aurora Way is fourth. At even money, put a ring around. You're to blame. You're to blame will win it easily by 3.5 lengths. Second is Zicatero. Third is Fermento. Then Aurora Way. Back to Carlino and Fayek wound up last in 1:43.1.
Pete Aiello with the call. You're to blame. Winning that allowance race at Gulfstream at two starts back. We'll see him in action later this afternoon in the $1.2 million Grade 2 Charlestown Classic. Of course, our coverage beginning 4 o'clock Eastern, Sirius XM 93, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Make sure you're tuned in throughout the afternoon. You're to blame, trained by two-time Classic winner Todd Pletcher, gets the services of jockey Joe Bravo, who won the 2011 running of the Charlestown Classic with Duke of Mischief. And Judy has some connections. He has some ability. Why not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's a nice little horse. He's won 3 of 13 lifetime, been in the money 9 times. And, of course, when Pletcher sends one here, they usually perform well. Joe Bravo riding great at Fairgrounds, had a tremendous meet. He's been on a little roll the last 3 years, Joe Bravo, and really doing well. So lots of things to like about him. He's a horse that certainly has a chance at getting some of that $1.2 million they're throwing up this afternoon.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a horse to beat the favorite, we told you earlier, favorites just 1 for 9 in the Charlestown Classic in the previous 9 runnings. So keep that in mind. The favorites have not necessarily fared well here, but, you know, Diversify looks pretty good on paper. And you heard from Rick Violet Jr. in the first half of the show. He feels confident that his horse is ready to run a big race later this afternoon. A couple of reminders before we bring you our interview with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller at Four Roses Bourbon. Each month we take a look at Four Roses from a different aspect, and I had a chance to sit down with Brent a couple of weeks ago, and man, was he just unbelievable to visit with, somebody who knows his craft and knows it very well. So we'll have that interview coming up here in just a minute, but want to remind you that at Laurel Park today, there is an all-stakes pick 4 in races 7 through 10. So if you're playing the races, I'm sure you're looking at the Charlestown races this afternoon. Well, Laurel Park is another track you want to take a look at because they have that all-stakes pick 4 races 7 through 10. And if you're looking down the road to the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown, you'll want to follow Blood Horse Magazine because they've been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for over 100 years, and they are the industry's only weekly magazine. for feature stories from the industry's best writers, in-depth analysis, award-winning photography, stakes, shells, and comprehensive coverage of the ever-changing world of thoroughbred racing and breeding. It's Blood Horse Magazine. Don't miss an issue, especially as we head toward the Kentucky Derby. Right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Triple Crown Special, which is 12 weekly issues for only $12. Go to bloodhorse.com/TC to sign up now. Eric Zimney, Vice President of Racing Operations, going to join us in just a couple of minutes. But first, it is time to take a look at the great operation at Four Roses Bourbon in Kentucky and a monthly visit that we bring your way each and every time, each and every month here on the network. And they are located right in the heart of horse country in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky.
Since 1888, Four Roses has been made with the same passion and handcrafted as only they can. And this interview, much like the iconic bourbon, handcrafted by Four Roses. Today I have the privilege of visiting once again with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller and quality director with Four Roses. Brent, when we say master distiller, what does that term mean?
You know, that's a term that it's evolved a little bit in the last couple of years. You know, historically it was really just fundamentally the person running the still, you know, running the distillery day in and day out. And today it means a lot of different things. Like in my particular role, I deal a lot on, probably more so on the back end of what's being produced, you know, choosing barrels, selecting batches. Of course, looking at the quality from beginning to end. But a lot of the focus is deciding what goes into the bottle, making sure that what goes into the bottle, whether it's the Four Roses bourbon, small batch, or single barrel, is the correct batches, the batches are the right quality, the right proportions, it's consistent. It's about the quality of what's in the bottle. And something else, when I say it's really changed in the last few years, you know, with the resurgence or the popularity of bourbon now, a lot of people want to know about bourbon. So as brands, we want to represent our brand in the best way that we can, and that's how master distillers are being utilized now. So I spend a lot of my time talking to the public, traveling, entertaining guests, doing seminars, dinners, and just anything you can imagine just to help almost be more of an ambassador.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere where you were quoted as saying that you can be somewhat reserved until it comes to talking about bourbon and telling people about Four Roses.
Yes.
How come?
Well, my background's chemistry. I've always been a science person. I always kind of figured I'd be stuck somewhere doing my own thing. But, you know, I think by my nature is more introverted than extroverted for sure. So I would have probably cringed and not believed you if you'd told me 20 years ago that part of my job would be every fourth week I'd be out, you know, traveling, talking to groups of 50, 100, 200 people. I wouldn't have believed you in the first place. Then it would have ruined my day. I just couldn't imagine doing something like that. And I probably still couldn't if you said you're going to go out and let's go talk about anything other than bourbon. I couldn't do it. But you know, something that I'm passionate about, that I know about, that I love to share with people. And it's just amazing how much people want to learn about it. So it's just like you plug in, you get out and you start talking to people and the questions start flowing and automatically, you know, I want to answer the questions. I want to talk about the brand, the product, the industry. And I guess what it comes down to is when you love what you do, it becomes fun and it's not really a job anymore.
So what are some of the things that you want people to know about Four Roses when you do go out and talk with them?
I always try to impress the, you know, our uniqueness, which we've talked about. I like to talk about the history. I'm not the brand historian, but you know, even in my 12 and a half, 13 years here with the company, we've seen a lot of change. And I like to talk about that. You know, the growth in the U.S. has been phenomenal. When I started in 2005, we were just doing, you know, a few thousand cases in one or two states. And within a few years, we were expanded to all 50 states. Let me back up. When I started, if you looked at Four Roses sales globally, we've always been not the biggest company. We've been one of the major distilleries, but you wouldn't know it here in the U.S. because we haven't really had a presence as a bourbon. But if you go, even today, if you go to Europe or Japan, we're one of the top-selling bourbons. We're on all the back bars. We're everywhere. So when I started, the U.S. market was at the very bottom of the list as far as sales volume. You had Japan, and you had France, you had Spain, the rest of Europe. And way down at the bottom was the U.S. That was 05. In 2015, the U.S. market overtook the Japanese market in sales, which 15 years ago, that would have been unheard of.
That's huge.
No, yeah, it's huge. And then the following year, we overtook all of Europe combined. So just in the brief history from when I've been here, you know, it's just been remarkable. The growth, both internally, when I started, we didn't have a sales and marketing department. We had one person who did all of that. We didn't have an HR department. We had one person that basically took care of payroll. We had the master distiller. We had a distillery manager. We had me. It was like a skeleton crew. We really had, because we had no sales in the U.S.
Yeah, what a difference 13 years makes.
I know it. Yeah, we have departments. Who would have thought?
Unbelievable.
You know, we're a real company. It's really been exciting just to see how far we've come in a short period of time.
Brent Elliott, he is the master distiller and quality director here at Four Roses. You can learn more by visiting fourrosesbourbon.com.
All right, Brent Elliott, the master distiller at Four Roses Bourbon, and yeah, they do a great job there. We're going to get to another quick break. We will come back, and we'll visit with Eric Zimney, the vice president of racing operations here at Charlestown. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs
has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Sassy Sienna between horses. Wonder Godot takes the lead. Sassy Sienna going to test her to the wire. Sassy Sienna, Wonder Godot right together. Wow, we might have a dead heat in the fantasy. That is an inch either way. Sassy Sienna and Wonder to go.
Sassy Sienna, the daughter of Darley stallion Midshipman, punched her ticket to the Kentucky Oaks with a big win in the $400,000 Grade 3 Fantasy Stakes at Oaklawn this past weekend. And that victory makes Sassy Sienna your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Midshipman, an Eclipse Champion two-year-old and record-breaking Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, now has 34 stakes horses since 2015, more than any other stallion standing for under $15,000. To learn more about Midshipman and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they're into the stretch, and it's game on, dude. Clubhouse ride to the outside, and Ron the Greek is third. A final 16 for game on, dude. He's reaching for the wire. Ron the Greek's coming up the fence. Clubhouse ride to the outside, but game on, dude has won the Charlestown Classic over Clubhouse ride and Ron the Greek. Percussion finished fourth in a final time of 1 minute 52.27 seconds. Game on, dude has won the Charlestown Classic.
Welcome back. Mike Penn and Jude Feld live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races here on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Larry Colmus with the call of Game on, Dude, winning the 2013 running of the Charlestown Classic. And we play that clip specifically for our next special guest, who is Eric Zimini, Vice President of Racing Operations here at Charlestown. And your favorite horse of all time? Pretty close, right? Game on, dude.
I mean, I named a pet after the horse, so yeah.
Yeah, a cat.
That's a cat, no less.
Dude the cat.
Dude
by the
cat.
Way, he's not happy today, right?
Oh, well, he got soup. He doesn't really care about the result of the game, I don't think. He just cares that he gets fed after the second period.
Does this happen during every... people will know that Eric's a big Steeler fan and a big Pittsburgh Penguins fan. So you were watching the game last night with your cat, Dude. It was just you and Dude at home?
It was me and Dude. Dude doesn't like to watch the games with me because I get a little animated and it scares him. But okay. After the second period of every game, and I fully realize this is completely irrational, I have a superstition of feeding Dude this cat soup at the end of the second period of every game. When I started doing that was when we went on this run of winning two Stanley Cups and now being like one of the favorites, I guess, for a third. And like, he's got to keep getting it.
Right.
Has to.
Right. Well, the series isn't over yet. They're still up 3-2.
3-2.
Right.
Game in Philly tomorrow, so
yep.
More soup on the way.
Yep.
More soup on the way.
It's a certain kind of soup, right?
Yeah, Purina makes this good soup. Yeah, he's very picky, though.
Comes in these little packages. And it's very, very official looking.
I think Eric said yesterday he's more particular about his food than I am, which is hard to believe.
I'm concerned.
He is.
That the cat is. Not Eric is, but the cat is.
I'm concerned, dude, that Eric knows it's good soup. Am I the only one that caught on that?
Well, after they won the cup, it's all bets are off.
It's like, you know, when it snows a lot and I can't get to the supermarket, what do you know? I got to do. What I got to do.
Good point. Well, look, we hear that call, Larry Colmus, the great Larry Colmus with the call of Game on, Dude, winning the race in 2013, and just one of the shining moments in the history of this race. And then you come to this year, seven horses, Diversify, a grade one winner, War Story, who was third in the race last year. That promises to be a great showdown.
Yeah, it should be good. I mean, if you look at some of War Story's numbers, too, that he's run in the past, I mean, the race at Tampa was huge. I think his buyer in the Breeders' Cup Classic was in like the 114 range or something like that. I mean, that's a pretty serious number. So you get the Jockey Club Gold Cup winner, who was the favorite in the Clark War Story. Fear the Cowboy was third in the Big Cap and is the third choice here. So, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good top group, good core group.
Yeah, it's a good betting race, lots of ways to go. And I'm sure people are going to spread a little bit in the pick four. You've got a guarantee today, so that's going to be a race where people are going to have to use more than one horse for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of like the misconceptions in racing sometimes is when you have a seven-horse field, it's automatically a bad betting race, and in this case, it's really not.
It's a good betting race.
Yeah, it actually is, and I do think you're right. People are going to go a little deeper than you'd think.
Yeah, Fear the Cowboy breaking from the inside post is a horse that's interesting. We just talked about You're to Blame. Whenever Todd Pletcher runs a horse in a big race, you better take a look at a horse like that. Joe Bravo knows how to ride this racetrack, too. We saw him win it for David Fox a couple of years ago. So, there are a lot of ways that you can go if you're looking to beat the favorites. And as we pointed out earlier, favorites just 1-for-9 in the race. Hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. Game on, Dude, that call, that was the only favorite who's won the race. Speaking of Joe Bravo, he's ridden this track great. War Story's rider has ridden the track better than seemingly anybody. I mean, he's probably 7-for-14 at the place. And
That's incredible.
It really is.
I saw that in your press release the other day. That's incredible.
It's incredible considering, he's won this race three times, only one favorite's won, so he's not been on the favorite. None of his mounts have been, and, it really is incredible. He's won the Charlestown Oaks before. Whenever he comes here, he just does well.
Yeah, he's got a really nice chance in the race before, too. Todd's filly looks pretty sharp in there. So he always rides good horses when he comes here. You know, that's a big key. I mean, the horse does the running, but he certainly knows his way around the bull ring.
this race wasn't without some adversity this year, too. Earlier in the year, you came on the program. You talked about a situation that was taking place here in West Virginia where there was a chance that the Charlestown Classic might not even be run this year. And to see where it is today after all of that is pretty impressive. But talk about some of the things that took place leading up to this.
Well, you know, the Racing Commission in West Virginia, and at the end of the day, the chairman, Jack Rossi, did a really good job of kind of, you know, it really being fair the whole time. But, you know, the Racing Commission originally voted not to approve our stake schedule, which I'm not aware when there's an agreement in place between the horse and the track. I'm not aware of that ever happening. And after they did that, a lot of the local politicians, the governor, local delegation here got involved, and their decision was kind of overturned. I mean, we got so much support from the industry, from everybody. It was really neat, and yeah, as a result, we're here today.
Yeah, it's a race that means so much to the state. It's the richest race in the state of West Virginia. Attracts the top horses that we have in the sport of thoroughbred racing, the older horses. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it made no sense. I mean, the tracks who are typically the more successful tracks, they're the ones who have big events. I mean, that's not a coincidence. Yeah, I mean, it's also not a coincidence. We started smashing business records when we started having these events. It's not a coincidence. Fox and Naira were premier brands. They wouldn't be here today on live national TV if we were running a bunch of beaten claiming races. It wouldn't happen. So, you know, you kind of see how it's lifted the profile of the program as a whole.
Yeah, and you have the casino as well, and you want to attract as many visitors here as possible. I mean, we talked about it earlier on the show. I mean, it's a beautiful place to visit. You know, the hotel over here is outstanding. Your casino is beautiful. There's so many nice things about Charlestown. You want to put the name on the map. And I thought it was kind of ridiculous. I hopped on Twitter right away when I heard about it, and I thought it was ridiculous because it's really a sponsored race. That money wasn't going to go into purses for the general population. This was a marketing tool and in a huge event to put your property on the map, really.
Yeah, look, we look at the metric of wagering per purse dollar spent, and despite having this race, wagering per purse dollar has also skyrocketed. So, yeah, I mean, it's paying for itself. I mean, it's paying for the whole program. It pays for us on a daily basis. It provides a benefit.
And the quality of the horses that have come here to race in the previous nine editions has been exceptional. I read a stat somewhere where I believe it's three of the past six favorites in the Breeders' Cup Classic have competed in the Charlestown Classic. Is that right?
It might be.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Of course, Gunrunner last year, he wasn't here. But going back, you look at the other races, the Breeders' Cup Classics, I think it's three of the last six horses that were sent off the favorite in that race had competed here in the Charlestown Classic. That's an impressive stat, and it just speaks to the quality of the race and to the quality of the event itself. What are some other things that folks can look forward to today?
Like Jude said, we have the $100,000 guaranteed all stakes pick four. We've got the $1 million challenge that our ADW is doing, ctmillion.com. If you go there, you have a free roll, free shot at sharing in a $1 million prize pool. If you can pick the winner of 11 straight races,
That's all.
That's all. You know, piece of cake.
Then there's that.
It's $1 million for free.
But yeah, $1 million for free.
No takeout.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, there's no VIG on that. So yeah, enter ctmillion.com, sign up, and we're just looking forward. It's a nice weather. Last year it wasn't like this. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's been beautiful the last couple of days, just really perfect. And
gorgeous.
Should have a huge crowd today, I would think.
Yeah, we should. The dining room is completely sold out. You know, that'll be packed to the gills, and it's about 65 degrees probably during the middle of the card on sunny, which beats 50 and raining like last year.
Visiting with Charlestown's Eric Zimney here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We are indeed live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, getting you set for that coverage this afternoon. We begin at 4 o'clock Eastern, 4 to 6. We take you all the way through the Charlestown Classic, which is set for 5:35 Eastern time. You can tune in on Sirius XM 93, and you can stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And Eric, earlier you mentioned Fox and Naira. And, of course, we provide a service for people that can't be in front of a television to watch the race, but there is a way to watch the race on TV.
There's a few ways, yeah. TVG will be providing coverage. Fox Sports 2 will be part of Naira's show between 4 and 6 p.m. on Fox Sports 2 today. And, of course, all the brick-and-mortar facilities around the country in addition to those two channels. So it'll be hard to miss us if you're looking for us.
See, there's another positive aspect, and a highly positive aspect of the Charlestown Classic and having a $1.2 million race at your facility. The shelf space that you get for a race like this. And I know the race used to be contested at night. You moved it to the day a couple of years ago, and I think that's been a pretty good move too.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, you know, there's a couple we can't overcome the, I'll call it an obstacle, but you know, we have a 6-furlong track. You see where the hotel is. You see where the parking lots are. That's not going to change. We've got that. One of the things we did hear from some folks was a little bit of a trepidation of running at night, and so we decided to move the race during the day a few years ago. And wagering wise, it's provided a big help. It's given us better exposure on television, and I think it'll stick to in the daytime for the foreseeable future, I'd say.
Well, this track is a very safe track, and it's a good track to train on. The trainers seem to really enjoy being here and stabling here. The stable area is impeccably clean and nice. There's a lot of things to like, and all of your racetracks that operate under the Hollywood Casino banner are run similarly and have the same feel and look. They're just you know, great places to be, and you see trainers stable here year round. They never leave. They come to Charlestown and they just stay here because it's such a nice place to train and to be.
When did you start at Charlestown?
I celebrated my 10-year anniversary at the place about a week ago.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Wow. Wow. What's been the most rewarding part of the job for you?
Probably seeing the profile of this place grow from a racing standpoint, just to know that, you know, people around the country have a greater attention towards our races. There's kind of a greater, I don't want to say respect, but, you know, we're just more visible than we were before, and to see how that's grown the business here. You know, it's been very rewarding. We've done it the right way. You know, we've built it incrementally. There's been not a single shortcut taken, and it's taken a while to get it to this point. But it's great to see the fruits of all the labor of not just me, but all our employees pay off.
Yeah,
this is the 10th running too, right? So you've been here as long as the race.
I have been. That's a coincidence, no?
I don't know. Probably not.
Maybe not. Yeah, 2009, that was the first year we started with, you know, kind of larger scale racing events to get the national public kind of more focused on our racing at least a few days a year. We know it's not going to happen at the same scale as a bigger track every single day of the week, but if we can do it a couple days of the year, at least we're woven into the national landscape of racing, which you have to be considering, you know, simulcasting and everything. It's across state borders now. It's not everyone who's just going to drive to the racetrack is your customer. It's a lot of people around the country and world.
Well, I've seen it, you know, just with people that I know and stuff. A lot of times people ask me, oh, you know, where's your next trip? Where are you going? So I used to say, we're going to the Charlestown Classic. And they go, oh, what is that? Where is that? You know, and now I say, I'm going to Charlestown Classic. I don't get the where is that? What is that? They know what it is, and they know it's a big race. And, oh, you're going there? Oh, that's cool. You know, so it has changed over the last several years that people are more aware and you know, pay attention to it.
Yeah, I'll tell you a quick story. In 2000, so the end of 2011, and we saw the Shackleford guys in the paddock. It might have been at Gulfstream. I don't remember where. And we're kind of trying to sell them on the idea of bringing their horse here. And they were like, well, you know, what's the race? They weren't exactly familiar with it. It was only two, three years old at that point. And we knew we kind of had to make a bigger push to get out there and start hustling for it earlier in the year. And now it's not a problem. People know it's on the calendar.
Right.
One of my favorite Charlestown Classic moments was our first year coming here, and Game On Dude won the race that year. And Joe Torre, the owner of Game On Dude, was down below, and he was in the winner's circle, and it was a cold, very chilly night. And he stood there for a good 30 minutes after the race was over, signing autographs. And there were so many kids that were coming up to him. He was signing autographs. He was letting them try on his World Series ring. That was one of my favorite moments. Just what an individual, that guy. I mean, he's just first class.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. He was classy all the way. That was probably, you know, the most exciting running of the race. You're talking about Game On Dude, yeah. Ron the Greek, and Clubhouse Ride hitting the wire. Probably, I don't know, 3/4 of a length between the three of them. That was a great night. Other than the announcer calling the race, it was a good night.
The great Larry Coleman. I have to say that every time his name comes up, I have to refer to him as the.
It's
great.
Like, sir, you get knighted somehow. Like announces, so it's like the great. Okay.
Our good friend Paul Espinosa is going to have the call for us tonight. Looking forward to that.
The greater Paul Espinosa.
Outstanding. Paul's done some work with us on the radio, and now we get to hear him tonight calling the Charlestown Classic again. That's a big deal for him. He's a native of this area, so this is big for him.
It's awesome to see how excited he gets for it, all of the social media stuff he's done this week. And, you know, there's obviously good ones out there as far as, you know, the best young announcers in the game. I think the best one works here, and he's done so much to help promote this place and promote the racing program here. And he loves to do it. He genuinely wants to do it. Hard to find young people like that necessarily anymore.
Yeah, Eric Zimney with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Look, thanks for everything that you do for us, all of your support throughout the year, not just yourself, but all of the Penn Gaming tracks. We'll be at Penn National in, I guess less than 2 months now. We'll be there for the Penn Mile and looking forward to providing that coverage and, talking about the Zia Park races later in the year and Mahoning Valley and, again, back to Penn in the fall for the November races too. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it should be. And we have the Oaks here in September and the Breeders' Classics. And thanks for all you guys do for us too.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
No
Go Pens.
Absolutely.
All right, Eric Zimney on HRN. We're going to get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Boss, there's a photographer out here who wants to do a piece on Jimmy John's for her magazine.
What kind of piece?
She heard about a clothing optional delivery policy and...
Did he tell her the naked driver incident was a momentary misunderstanding?
Yes, sir, but...
Did he tell her it's our meats that are going all natural, not our drivers?
Yes, sir, that's not...
Did you tell her Jimmy John's is committed to serving sandwiches with only the finest all-natural ham, roast beef, salami, bacon, and real fresh turkey breast?
Yes, sir, I did, sir.
So she wants to photograph our sandwiches?
No, sir. Actually, she wants to do a calendar.
A what?
A calendar. You know, the men of Jimmy John's.
Dibs on January.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Undefeated in sprint competition, Eclipse champion Run Happy captured 3 Grade 1 victories and set blistering speed records at both Keeneland and Saratoga. In the Breeders' Cup Sprint, he dominated the world's fastest runners, going 6 furlongs in a record-breaking 108 and change. The only horse nominated for 3 Eclipse Awards, Run Happy was crowned champion male sprinter, all the while racing 100% drug-free. Champion, millionaire, record-breaker, Run Happy. Standing at Claiborne Farm.
Power.
Tapazar's going to keep Royal Trip at bay. And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
One final try from Hollywood Handsome. These two to the wire. Hollywood Handsome got it.
Performance.
Eskimo kisses a distance second. Patrona Margarita third. It is all Monomoy Girl to take the Central Bank Ashland.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 5 third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, an emphatic winner of the Grade 1 Ashland at Keeneland, and among the favorites for this year's Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back. Mike Penn and Jude Fell getting ready to wrap up another busy edition of the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence, but we're not done yet. We come back this afternoon, 4 Eastern, 2 hours of Charlestown Classic coverage live from Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Another programming reminder for those of you who are listening to us and want to listen to us on Sirius XM this afternoon, Sirius XM 93 is where you will find us. And, of course, you can always stream us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. All of our Derby Week coverage begins on Tuesday, May 1st, 7:30 Eastern. That's a new start time for our Derby countdown shows. Typically, we begin those at 8 o'clock Eastern time, but they will start 7:30 on Tuesday, May 1st. And lock us in. It'll be Jude Feld and Gabby Gaudette live from the backside of Keeneland with interviews with owners, trainers, jockeys, and breeders, and all kinds of handicappers that will help you get ready for Derby at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, looking forward to that. It's always fun spending Derby week on the backside and listening to all the banter and the rumors and the information that you get back there, plus Gabby watching the horses train. Very exciting.
Yeah, that'll be the cool thing about those shows. That's one aspect that we've always loved about them, is being able to have somebody on our team trackside as the Oaks and Derby horses are on the track to put you there at Churchill every morning. They're going to go out at 7:30 every morning, so you'll open the show in that fashion. Have Gabby trackside. You guys will be able to talk about all the contenders as we move forward toward the Oaks and Derby.
Yeah, that'll be really cool. A little different format, but very exciting.
Head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete broadcast schedule. Follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter. By the way, War Story, far and away the winner of our poll question here this morning. 47% of the vote coming in saying War Story is the winner of this afternoon's Charlestown Classic. Our thanks to trainer Rick Violet Jr., Hall of Fame jockey Javier Castellano, Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson, and Eric Zimney here at Charlestown for joining us on the program. Been a busy show, my friend.
Yep.
We ain't done yet.
It was fun.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, who is back in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios, for my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site with us here. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you this afternoon, 4 Eastern, on the network. Make sure you join us then. And as always, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.